Hello and welcome to the Fitness Mindset Podcast with Kate Niedecker. So today in the mini-series, I'm going to be talking about PCOS, which stands for Polycystic Ovarian Syndrome. So it's actually just been Polycystic Ovarian Syndrome Awareness Month, so the month of September. And there was lots of helpful content on social media, lots of some not so helpful content. So I thought it would be really good to just cover what is required for nutrition to support PCOS today, and also speak a little bit about my experience with it. So to run through what PCOS is, it's a condition that has symptoms that include things like irregular periods, excessive hair growth, hirsutism, perhaps weight gain, thinning hair on the head, oily skin or acne. You could experience skin tags, anxiety or depression. And one of the underlying causes of PCOS is insulin resistance. So I'll talk a little bit more about this and the things that you can do to help support PCOS, or perhaps your clients who may have PCOS as well. So the first port of call, if you suffer from any of these symptoms, is to of course see your doctor. So they can run the relevant tests to see if you have signs such as cysts on your ovaries, or perhaps you have irregular periods. They can talk about your cycle with you. They can also test your androgen levels to see if they're high. Now, if you were to have two of these notable features, then you'd be likely to get the PCOS diagnosis, and they can run you through the ways in which they can help support you with that. So first port of call is of course to see your doctor. So it's really common and it affects 1 in 10 women. And it can be really difficult when people get their diagnosis of it. It can make people feel like they are a little bit out of control of their body. I particularly like to talk about it because, one, it affects myself personally, but I also understand how difficult it can feel to navigate nutrition with PCOS when there is such a lot of information online in terms of how to help people. So as difficult as it is to talk about a condition that affects you personally, because there's always going to be your biases that can affect it, and you have to be really aware of that when you're working with a client, it's really nice to actually help people in a way that I know is going to be evidence-based and supportive for them, and they know it's going to be helpful for them. So let's run through some of the simple ways that you can adjust your diet to support PCOS. Now, none of these things are massively groundbreaking. They are incredibly simple, but usually that is the case with nutrition. However, it's really important to have these things re-emphasized to you. So it's really good to start by looking at your diet autonomously. So maybe that's you write a food diary, noting down what you eat, or perhaps you hire a coach to have a look at your diet. So you get that individual attention to what you need specifically, because there's a lot of information perhaps advising people to just lose weight if they have PCOS, but it's really important that we look at the individual and see what they need at that time. So it'll be a lot to do with your history and also what you need. So being ideally aware of your portion intake, your calorie intake, this will be in line with your energy needs, your preferences, your goals, and also your dieting history. So that will be very individual to you, whether you want to be eating more, less, or carry on eating the same amount that you're eating. Making sure that your diet on a whole is coming from whole foods, so things like whole grains, legumes, fruit, vegetables, proteins, whether that's from meat, fish, and of course you can still include dairy in your diet. You won't necessarily have to give up gluten unless of course you are celiac, and you won't have to give up dairy unless you are dairy intolerant, which are tests that you can run with your doctor as well. So it's been recommended that you do eat enough protein in your diet as well, so making sure that you're eating protein in each meal might be beneficial for you. This can help in keeping your energy levels nice and even, and keeping your blood sugar levels nice and even. When it comes to carbohydrates, it's really important that you don't cut them out altogether. It's really important that you don't do a completely high carb diet with low fat intake as well. So it's been shown the most beneficial thing might actually be to have a moderate carbohydrate intake with fats as well, in terms of splitting up your macronutrients. So making sure you're still including them, but a moderate intake has been shown to be most beneficial, not necessarily low carb, cutting out carbs. So it's also been shown to be beneficial to include unsaturated fats in your diet as well. So things like avocados, fish, nuts, anything that is going to be unsaturated fats is really important to still include. You can still include saturated fats, however, they've been shown to not be as beneficial for health. So it's really important as well to include fiber in your diet. So as a rough kind of goal, looking at about 20 to 35 grams a day for most adults is a good idea in terms of fiber intake. This is really helpful for, again, stabilizing your blood sugar levels, making sure that you have good gastrointestinal health, so you're not suffering from too much bloatedness as well. Getting the fiber content right in your diet is important. It's also been helpful in terms of reducing the risk of cardiovascular disease in the future. So fiber is a really important thing, and you can get that from your veggies and also your whole grains as well. So that is all incredibly simple. I know it sounds really basic when I say it, but it's easier said than done. So it's really important that you do have a look at your diet and have a look at some ways of changing it slowly. So maybe implementing some habit-based goals week to week rather than doing a huge overhaul and eliminating certain foods altogether. Now, I mentioned earlier that a sign of PCOS is something called insulin resistance. So to explain what that is, insulin resistance is when we are not as good as utilizing sugar and we don't necessarily have more insulin, but we aren't as sensitive to it. So we're not as sensitive to using all the sugars that we have for fuel, for example. So that doesn't necessarily mean we need to cut out all carbohydrates and all sugars. It just means that it might be appropriate to moderate them. So it's important that I note as well that women with PCOS are more likely to suffer from eating disorders. And one of the key things that can actually cause eating disorders is eliminating certain foods, preoccupation with food in your body, and also just having a diet that is very rigid. So making sure that your diet does actually have a lot of flexibility is really important for PCOS. However, a lot of the information that I've seen in the last month for PCOS Awareness Month was actually incredibly rigid. Information about cutting out dairy as a whole for everyone. And I think it's really important that people have a look online, and generally if anyone's speaking in absolutes about nutrition, saying everyone has to do this, everyone with PCOS should do this, you need to cut out this, it's advice that you should be wary of, because nutrition is very variable from person to person. So what you individually need might not be what the next person needs for your PCOS. So having a look at the information online that you are using for your nutrition and making sure that it is evidence-based and it's going to be beneficial for you. So I'll move on to talking a bit more about the supplementation with PCOS. So there is a lot of information about inositol. So inositol is very good at helping with insulin sensitivity. It can be taken as well if you take medication with metformin, and also taking omega-3s can be beneficial, and vitamin D. These are all going to be helpful for insulin sensitivity. Some supplementation with a bit less evidence are supplements like magnesium and chromium. So there's not so much evidence to support them, but there is a little bit out there, and it's going to be more down to you and your qualified nutritionist whether you wish to go ahead with these things. As always with supplements, it's really important that you consult your doctor before you take them as well. So I'll talk a little bit about my experience with PCOS. So I was diagnosed coming up to 10 years ago, and it took a long time for me to get the diagnosis because I wasn't a typical person, as my doctor saw it, who would have PCOS. So at the time I wasn't underweight as they saw it, but I was slim, but I was really struggling with the information that I've received online for dealing with PCOS. So it was definitely the start of my eating disorder when I was trying to get my PCOS diagnosis. So when I was trying to alter my food for nutrition, this is about 10 years ago, I was looking online for the relevant information, and it generally said that you shouldn't eat any sugar and you shouldn't eat carbohydrates. So I was incredibly active, and cutting out carbohydrates at that time would have been way more detrimental for my body and also my psychology at the time than what was going to be beneficial for me. It wouldn't have been helpful to do that. So I cut out all carbohydrates and sugars to the point where I wasn't even eating fruit, and I was scared to eat fruit, and fruit can actually be really beneficial for women with PCOS. So I would probably buy a pack of almonds and just eat almonds, because I knew fats wouldn't spike blood sugar levels. I knew that protein would spike insulin to an extent, and I knew that fats might not. So my diet was incredibly restrictive, and I wasn't eating much at all, to the point where I was passing out. I was I'd get blurry vision, head rushes, because I just wasn't eating enough. So it's really important that when you get your diagnosis, you don't start altering your diet in crazy, crazy ways, and make sure that the information you get isn't as ridiculous as the information I was getting online. But in the last 10 years, the wealth of information online is so much better already, which is a really good sign. There could be a lot more research in the area, which hopefully there will be more funding for. But it's getting better, it's getting there. So over the last 10 years, I've generally managed it a lot better. There are times where I do experience symptoms of it a little bit more, and that's when it's just time to maybe pay attention to my lifestyle, or perhaps the medication that I take. So I would say that it's really important that if you have had that diagnosis, you are speaking to people and you are making sure you've got the adequate psychological support, whether that is talking to your friends, your family, or perhaps investing in therapy if that is possible for you, to make sure that you are dealing with it in a way that you're getting the support for yourself, because I know it can make you feel incredibly lonely. It can make you feel like you haven't got control of your body. And if you have someone there to reassure you and to who is experiencing these things, you feel like you're not actually dealing with it alone. There are so many women who suffer from PCOS, and I posted something at the weekend. I didn't expect to get many people on board to basically, it was supposed to encourage people to write to their MPs in their area to get them to attend a debate on PCOS to increase funding for PCOS and endometriosis. And the feedback from that post was incredible, with so many people saying, I have PCOS and it affects me too. And it was really nice to see that there are... Well, it's bad in a way because it affects so many people, but it's nice to see that there is a community helping each other and being supportive. So the more we can join together to talk about it, to reduce the stigma about these things. I think we all get a little bit funny about talking about our periods, about when we experience PMS at the end of the month, when we experience negative things with our cycle. And talking about these things is so incredibly important, especially if it's causing you anxiety, especially if it's causing you stress. And hopefully that will reduce the stigma about these things, something I'm incredibly passionate about. So making sure we talk about these things more. If you do experience bad PMS, like, speak to someone about it and be open about it. You don't have to pretend that you're walking around with these symptoms and you have to just pretend they're not there, because I understand it's not like you look like your legs hanging off. It's not like you've got your arm in a sling, but you can be really struggling with these symptoms that PCOS does cause. So psychological support along with PCOS is something that I think is incredibly important and not spoken about enough, because it does really affect people's self-esteem and their confidence. And I really hope that over time there is going to be more funding for research, there is going to be more research into it, and we do actually find what is the cause for this and what is going to be a relevant, a good treatment for PCOS. So people still don't know why, when I say people, there isn't evidence to show why PCOS exists at this point. There isn't evidence to have a cure, of course, for PCOS. There's things that can help with the symptoms, which is fantastic, but at this point there isn't enough evidence there to really, really help people. So hopefully over time this will come to light. So I was sent some questions recently from people who struggle with PCOS about their diet and what things, some things that have come up in terms of social media that they have questions about. And someone said, are there any trigger foods that cause PCOS to that exacerbate PCOS? And in all honesty, no, there are no trigger foods that are going to affect your PCOS badly. Everything in moderation. I've spoken about how sugar can be detrimental for our insulin resistance, which can drive our symptoms with PCOS, but that doesn't mean we need to cut it out altogether and you can't eat like one biscuit. You can enjoy foods that contain sugar. There are things online that I see that have big X's over food, like this is a trigger food for PCOS, and it might be like cake or dairy or anything really. And these food, these posts are incredibly unhelpful because it's building up the idea that some foods are bad and some foods are good. And like this, when I eat this food, it's going to do something that's very bad to my body, which is then going to build stress around this food. It's going to mean that you're not going to enjoy it when you do have it, or you're going to try to not eat it and refrain from eating it for a long amount of time and with willpower. And then when you can eat it, you then end up eating more or overeating it. And like I say, binge eating is really common with women who experience PCOS, and it may well be that that is because of some of the unhelpful information online about eliminating certain foods. We're more likely to binge if we eliminate things, however there are a multitude of other things that do affect it as well. So to summarize what I've spoken about today, it's really important that you look at your diet autonomously. So look at it like you write a food diary, or perhaps you get help from a nutritionist to get that individual support. It's really important that you speak to your doctor. It's can be helpful to have a diet that's moderate in carbohydrates, emphasizing whole foods, making sure that majority of your diet comes from whole foods, including adequate amount of protein, and of course lots of vegetables, lots of fruit, and a good amount of fiber. Fats are really important for women with PCOS, so including lots of unsaturated fats is really good. Supplementation that has been shown to be really helpful has been can be inositol, omega-3s, vitamin D as well. Some with less evidence are things like magnesium and chromium. And mainly making sure that when you look for information on the internet, it is from credible sources, making sure that people aren't speaking in absolutes about things, about eliminating things like dairy and gluten when you might not necessarily need that. But I think the main thing to take away from this is that it is really difficult when you get the diagnosis with PCOS, and it is really tricky to live with. So talking to people, reaching out about it, and over time reducing the stigma about talking about our cycles, and if we do have menstrual conditions, of course talking about our mental health as well, and getting the psychological support that is necessary for these things as well. So I really hope this helps. I really like to carry on the conversation about PCOS, even though it is not Awareness Month anymore. So if it's affected you, and if you have anything to ask about it, if you haven't emailed your MP yet in your area and you want them to go speak to, go to the debate that's on the 18th of this month, which is cutting it a bit fine, then you can still send them an email to go to the debate to make sure that we get some funding for more research with PCOS. So I hope you found this helpful today. If you have, please share it with someone. Please do subscribe and rate it as well. And thank you very much for listening.